Hello, listeners. Welcome to Indian Steel Association's podcast, Steel, Shaping the Future. Here, we explore steel in depth, a material that's interwoven into nearly every aspect of people's lives. In this series, we deep dive into how steel is evolving to impact and shape the future. Join us as we bring you up close and personal with subject matter experts who throw light on the importance of steel.
Welcome, listeners, to the third episode of Indian Steel Association's podcast series, Steel Shaping the Future. I'm Ashima Tyagi, editor, Asian Steel Markets at S&P Global Commodity Insights, having the privilege to deliberate on India's growing role and industry's future course when it comes to matters of international trade. To do so, I have the perfect guest in Mr. Ranjan Dhar, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer with ArcelorMittal Nippon Steel India Limited, who would be able to give insights from the vantage point of a career spanning two decades in the industry. Hello, Mr. Dhar, and thank you for agreeing to throw light on this very important discussion.
Hello, Ashima. Look forward for this interaction today. Thank you so much for calling.
So first and foremost, would have to address the elephant in the room, the COVID-19 pandemic. When it hit the world in 2020, it has since brought about some unexpected, unprecedented, and unusual trends in the commodity markets. The outbreak also represented, you know, a kind of a unique shock that impacted both the demand and supply side, the disruptions of which are being witnessed even after 2 years today. So given this, how do you assess the long-term ramifications that the pandemic has had on India's steel markets?
So, Ashima, if you step back and see how these 2 years have been. So at the start of 2020, when COVID suddenly hit the world and also India, it was a very uncertain time at that point in time, isn't it? And what happened is that the companies, the countries, local administration did not know what has hit them. And various permutation combination scenarios were being built. What is new normal? What is not new normal? Talking about the commodity and steel in particular, what steel companies did and what ArcelorMittal Nippon Steel did in India was to ensure the safety of our people. So in the early part of April 2020, we took the production to the technical minimum level, taking all the production down, putting practices in place which will keep our people safe. And I'll come how that has structurally changed the industry later on. As soon as we were confident that all our people are safe and all the COVID protocols, which are effective, are in place, we were able to quickly restart the production. Thankfully, at that point in time, there were exports market which were available because the domestic demand in India had got totally crushed and export demand were available. And all the Indian mills and also AM/NS in particular, we were able to restart full operations in less than 20 days or 25 days time. And it started with port of material at the start of, say, May. But soon we saw a V-shaped domestic demand recovery in India from the end of May, beginning June onwards. And then we got back to our domestic market and then the operations were very smooth. Now, what happened due to this is that there was a learning which steel industry in general and AM/NS in particular had. And because in this time, we took various initiatives, you know, building hospitals, taking precautions, building housing for people across length and breadth of the country. We have got steel service centers, north, east, west, south. So we made stopgap arrangement for people to stay within the premises. And when the COVID wave 2 hit the country in 2021, all these practices came handy. So we were able to tide over the situation that point in time with very minimal disruptions. In fact, as you would know, that steel industry, the operation side at least, was totally smooth. Again, at that point in time, the domestic demand had taken a hit and the mills were exporting large quantities during the wave two also, because all the learnings that the steel companies had taken during the wave one of the COVID. Together with this, what also happened is that there was a big thrust on digitization. So all those activities on the customer side and also on the regulation side, certification side, which were being then on an offline mode earlier, have been totally digitized now. For example, AMNS was one of the first company to do a digital blockchain-based transaction for one international letter of credit. And that is getting accelerated in a very big way. So a lot of structural changing is happening in the way business is being conducted due to the trust on digitization. For example, another example I can quote is that third-party inspector were mandated earlier to come to the plant, inspect products or inspect processes. And those have become largely digitized today. So these are the structural changes which have happened in the industry, and they are very positive structural changes because these changes keep the businesses sustainable and agile and also ready for any unforeseen challenges. And with this industry in general and AMNS in particular, can tide over this crisis.
It's very interesting that you mentioned digitization. So what you're trying to say is that, God forbid, if there is another COVID wave hitting tomorrow, the operations at the mill will not be disrupted as much as they had in 2020. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, absolutely. Because now what has happened is that all the SOPs and all the learnings out of this have been put into practice. And I think the resilience of the operations and the resilience of people have also increased as a result of this. But any disruptions, whether related to health or others, I think businesses are more resilient today as opposed to what they were 2 years back.
So I remember you mentioned how it was the strictest lockdown in the world. And at Platts also, we had reported that time how 50 to 70% of the production was being cut. And I remember people being very surprised at that point, even though the government data release later confirmed it. And that was the most logical thing to do. However, since then, the pandemic continues to throw a lot of intermittent challenges, you know, on the operations of the steel market, be it, you know, demand erosion as an outcome of the lockdown, or, you know, the rise of COVID cases during the second wave. And now, for instance, Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So the last 2 years have been quite tumultuous in that sense. And I was wondering, how are Indian mills prepared to respond to these disruptions and to be able to actually capitalize and thrive, you know, on these challenges in some way?
So my response to that is, in fact, if you see traditionally, you know, lot many times people think that Indian mills take opportunity of prices and commercial opportunities basis whatever crisis happen in the world. Actually, this notion is not fully true, and I'll tell you why. If you see, the higher exports out of India have happened only at the time, irrespective of the price points, when the domestic demand has been lower. We have seen during the wave one of COVID between April to June of 2020, and again between March to July of 2021. And then as the domestic demand has picked up, the volume has gone back into the domestic market. I would say that the pull due to commercial reason to go to other markets is very limited, if at all, by 2-3%, not more. The mills in India generally, and our mill particularly, we are totally focused in catering the domestic demand in full. So there is no reason for anybody to believe that, you know, we lock stock battle go if there is a price $200, $300 premium, that the mills shift base. They do not, because for the long-term good of India as a country and the domestic business, we always focus on the domestic business first. Having said that, today what has happened due to the robust steel industry and the vibrant steel industry in India, also in terms of the quality of the product that we are making, India has become an alternate to the world, not only from the metric ton perspective, but also from the quality of the steel perspective. And I see that accelerating. Today, what is happening is that India is exporting largely commodity grade of steel and some value-added grade of steel in terms of heavy plates or API grade steel or stuff like that. But more and more, even the value-added steel, be it the automotive space or higher-end infrastructure space, India will participate more in those value-added steel globally. Because these disruptions have made the world try out Indian way of doing business. Not only the supply of steel, but even the way of doing business. That is also very important. And today, the world is comforted or feels comfortable in dealing with India because of the business ethos that we have, the policies that we have, and the relationship that we maintain with all the customers wherever we go across the globe. So India is becoming more and more a likable destination for sourcing steel. And I personally believe that it will not be limited to only the commodity grade of steel. It will be more and more even the value-added grade of steel.
It's interesting you talk about domestic versus exports. I've often seen Indian mills having a domestic first strategy given the long-term growth potential of India's per capita consumption. But at the same time, on the subject of exports, what we're seeing right now is that China, the world's largest exporter, it's gradually focusing its attention towards meeting carbon neutrality goals. So we often see them cutting production while maintaining the capacity. And sometimes they are reluctant to produce for exports. At the same time, traditional exporting nations like Japan, South Korea, they are also less inclined to exports. They are mostly focusing on high value-added automotive grades, for instance, in highly remunerative markets like US and EU. However, the recent spike in COVID infections in China is lending support for Indian mills to fill in the gap. A lot of people look at India as a possible alternative, even believe that India's position in the coming decades can be cemented as an important player in the global export markets, as you said. So do you believe that India's role would further strengthen in the coming decades, or it'll always be an interplay between domestic versus exports?
Yeah, so I think it is an important point that you have raised, Ashimai. I think what I feel is that China, yes, we have seen it very clearly now that China is focusing more on domestic. When I say domestic, they are focusing more within China and also in the region of Southeast Asia and the geography closer to China. But talking about India, as I said, that the policy of all the steel mills in India is domestic first. That will not change. But India is expanding its capacity to 300 million ton as per the NSP that everybody knows. And we have seen that credible capex declaration have been made by all the steel producers, including AM/NS, mega capex initiative that has been done. This will take the Indian steel capacity up. We always, when we are building these capacities, we have taken into cognizance the domestic demand growth. And we feel that if India's GDP at a CAGR level will grow at 7.5-8%, there will be a multiplier effect on steel consumption or at 1.1 or 1.2 times of that. So that will keep the demand at a very robust level in India. Now, having said that, when India is growing these capacities, the influencing geographies from the Indian perspective, because India has got iron ore, which is a natural resource for making steel. So I think some geographies will become naturally aligned towards sourcing from India, which will be like a permanent sourcing from India. For example, Middle East, some part of Southeast Asia, and some part of Europe. And I see more and more value-added steel going into Europe from India, not the commodity grade of steel. So these geographies will become natural buyers of Indian steel, is my assumption. And then based on some opportunity, some disruption, some areas of the world, if people look at alternate, as I said earlier, from India, that will play, but that will be more on the spot basis and more on opportunity basis. But the natural geographies that the Indian mill will go to, or the customers in these geographies will naturally be aligned towards Indian mills, other geographies like Middle East, Europe, Southeast Asia, partly.
I understand, this thing about India's per capita consumption having great potential, because I think our urbanization rate in India is around, 34%, while that in China is around 60%. So I think more and more urbanization would mean more steel consumption. But what is being seen is that, you know, this consumption is growing slowly at the moment. I was looking at the Joint Plan Committee data for, you know, April to January for this financial year. And what we saw was that while the crude steel production stood at some 98 million metric tons, which was up 18% over the same period last year, India's capacity is around 143 million tons. And when we looked at in conjunction with the domestic consumption stood at around 86 million metric tons, which some people look at as some sort of excess capacity in India, which in the short term can only be diverted towards exports. And as you mentioned, there's been great profitability that Indian mills have enjoyed over the last 2 years, which is helping turn the capex cycle and new capacities are being planned. How do you forecast this rise in domestic consumption, you know, in comparison with exports till about perhaps 2030, when, you know, the national steel policies target would be coming into place? So it'd be very interesting to understand your views on this.
So Ashima, I think first, I totally agree that the consumption of steel in India is very low. So now the issue why it is low is that a lot of the construction, even in urbanization, whenever urbanization happens, the construction happens in a traditional way. And that needs to change in India. And it is easy to say that needs to change in India. But I think all of us, even under ISA, we are discussing this, that there is a need in India to create an ecosystem to consume steel in construction. Steel is getting consumed in automobile, in large infrastructure projects. Good progress has been made in usage of steel in construction of airports, ports. But I think at the mass housing level, urbanization level, urban housing level, high-rise building level, we are still at the traditional way of constructing these buildings. There is where the change has to happen. And that change will happen when we create an ecosystem of using it. Because, you know, today, if as individuals, I've said this earlier, you and I want to make a house out of steel, it is not an easy job because you don't know where to go. You don't know where to get it sourced from and who will construct it for you. I think a large part of our consumption rise at the per capita level will happen as a result when we move towards that. And I see now the welcome change is that I see a lot of startups. When I say startups, there are companies who have been engaged into various different steel products. They are coming forward and they are developing these ecosystems, and which is very welcome change. In fact, I was saying the other day that why in India the startups have to happen on the food delivery side or app side, or there should be some startups which should come into usage of steel side, and they should propagate the use of steel in terms of making it easily available and easily usable for the consumers. And I think that will happen. And as urbanization happens, because the traditional way of doing the construction is very time consuming. It is not environment friendly. It is not even aesthetically good. So I think India is sitting on an inflection point wherein huge acceleration will happen in this space. The other part of your question is that the capacity utilization, when you talk about 145, 147 million versus utilization of say 98 to 100 million, you have to divide this capacity into two parts. One is the integrated and the secondary. The issue in India is that a lot of secondary capacities are not fully utilized, or the utilization rate is low because there are a lot of inefficiencies there. The supply chains are not fully linked. So more and more this space will become organized, and we're seeing the movement from the unorganized part of the steel or the secondary part of the steel towards the integrated part of the steel. And that, to my mind, will continue. And that will drop efficiencies. That will also drop the environment-friendly way of making that steel. And the reason is just that. And those capacities are largely in long products, which are not very export-oriented products. And therefore, even if the capacities are utilized low, and if you increase the capacity utilization there, those cannot be exported also.
In terms of consumption, because we are talking about flat versus non-flat, at Platts, we are monitoring these markets. And right now, in fact, the rebar market is really picking up much faster than hot-rolled coil market, which is quite astounding because I think HRC is moving a bit sluggishly while rebar is picking up, especially before the year end closing. Over the longer term, you know, how do you see the flats market doing in comparison with non-flats? You know, in terms of the auto industry also, we are seeing that they will be moving towards the, you know, electric vehicles at some point, even though currently they are constrained with chip shortage issues, etc. But over the longer term, how do you foresee the pattern in consumption of flats, which obviously I think gives better sales realization to companies compared to longs? And within flats, which ones are the key steel segments that will assume a lot of prominence?
I see the flats also doing very well. You know, yes, you're right. That currently there's a bit of a rally in the on the long side of steel, and that typically happens. You know, the fluctuations in the long side are always higher than those on the flat side, and I think these are one of those fluctuations which are happening currently. But structurally, flat will remain strong for various reasons. Because as I said earlier, the infrastructure demand is picking up. Auto, as we speak with all the auto OEMs, more and more, yes, it is not fully solved, but the chip shortage issue is getting solved, if not to the extent of 100%, but at least 90 to 95%. Those are getting solved, and that will, and there are a lot of pent-up demand over there. They're sitting on a lot of huge order books, and there are, you know, delivery periods of automobile which have gotten delayed. That will also improve. Also, what is happening is what will drive the consumption of flat products is we are seeing a huge demand also in the commercial vehicle space, which was totally muted for last 2-3 years. That is coming up, coming back into demand very strongly, and that should keep the flat steel demand very high. I should also mention here that more and more I see steel efficiencies in usage of steel, because steel will, you know, it will become costly to make steel. There are pressures to make steel green for environment reason. There will be new technology adaption which have to be done to ensure that the steel is green or greener. So everybody will be compelled to increase the efficiencies in terms of how they use the steel. So therefore, including in long product space, I see specialty long products getting more and more into demand. For example, jumbo beams, higher end beams. So the commodity side of long products will more and more move towards the value-added side of long products also, because everybody will have to use steel in a more efficient way going forward, as opposed to what was done previously. Because the commodity is costly, and all the commodities are becoming costly. In fact, the world is under on the inflation side of the spectrum. But so efficiencies will play a very important role, as we have seen in automotive, we have seen in other segments. Overall, the users will be pushed towards using the steel more efficiently, and that will bring about change in terms of using more and more value-added steel.
I think you've really covered a lot of aspects here. One last question before we sign off. I'd be very interested to understand a very candid view from you on what is that one thing you think should change when it comes to Indian steel industry's way of functioning or operations. Is there one thing that, you know, you would like that would be different from how it is today going into the future?
Well, there are going to be many things, but if you have to pick up one thing, I would say that we need to focus on increasing the consumption in the country, which we sometimes get exuberant that it is good and growth is happening, but at the per capita level is actually number where the number is very low, and that should not, you know, we should not be easy about it. We should focus on that area, on how to increase the per capita consumption of steel in the country. And that can only happen apart from automotive, apart from mega infrastructure, when we make the ecosystem suitable for usage of steel on a mass basis.
And yes, I completely agree. Thank you, Mr. Dhar, for a very illuminating session. It's been very interesting to hear your perspectives, and I'm sure the listeners are greatly enriched as well.
Thank you, Ashima. Thank you, ISA.
Before I sign off, we would like to thank Indian Steel Association for offering this platform for deliberation, and look forward to having many more in the future. Thank you, everyone.
As we draw the curtains on another episode, stay tuned for more conversations on how steel is shaping the future. To know more about steel, follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. Hit the share button and spread the word.